I'm preaching from Romans chapter 10 this morning. If you'll find that text, I'm going to focus on one verse here in just a moment, verse 9. But I want to lead up to that as we've been thinking about the theme of Romans chapter 10. Our theme for the past 4 or 5 weeks has been focusing on Paul the evangelist. Now, we normally think of Paul the apostle or Paul the missionary, and he was indeed those things. But in this chapter, chapter 10, especially the first part of it, he opens the curtain to his personal life and shows us that he was a very zealous, dedicated, busy evangelist. Now, what do I mean by evangelist? I mean that he was a busy, zealous person who went wherever he could go, especially to the places where Christ had not been named yet, and he evangelized. He spoke the good news. He, as the Greek word says, euangelioned the gospel. He spoke it, and he didn't just speak it just to be telling truth, but he spoke it with passion, believing that God saves sinners by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and by the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And so here is Paul the Apostle showing us, verse 1 of chapter 10 just opens the door. He says that, "Brethren, my heart's desire, what I really, really have passion for, and my prayer to God for Israel, his fellow Israelites, is that they might be saved." So the evangelist has in mind the end goal of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is that people will be saved. Do you know anybody in your personal life, maybe as a sibling or an immediate family member? Or do you know anybody that you live by? You got any neighbors? Or do you know anyone that you work with who is lost and needs to be saved? I think every person here is going to have to raise their hand and say, "Yes, I do." Wouldn't it be grand if our heart's desire and prayer to God was that these folks would be saved? Now, I hope and pray that you're actively praying for lost people to be saved. I mean, if you're a Christian, you have to have that. That's just part of being a Christian. You want to see people saved. Amen? That's right. Yeah, I mean, because you're saved and you know how great it is and you want that for everybody else, don't you? And wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be grand? Wouldn't it be glorious? Wouldn't it be God glorifying if we were able to see as a church one or two or three or 10 people saved a week, every week? I mean, think of how powerful that would be if God were to open the doors and do that. Well, that should be our prayer. That should be our desire. Even though it seems like right now God is not drawing in the lost by the hundreds and by the thousands, we still should pray to that end, and we still should work to that end as well. So Paul introduces himself as this evangelist, and the end goal is that verse 9 would happen to those that he preaches to. So here's what I want to preach about this morning. The evidence or the testimony of someone who has come to Christ. Paul says two things will happen if someone comes to Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So Paul's prayer was, "Lord, bless my preaching, bless my efforts so that someone will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead, because I want to see people saved." Now let me talk just for a couple of minutes about what does it mean to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, number one, and what does it mean to believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. These two things were oversimplified for me when the Lord first saved me when I was 16 years old. They were oversimplified for me in the training that I received immediately after the Lord saved me in doing witnessing. I was introduced to a little bitty tract, and the tract was called The Plan of Salvation. And that little tract taught a few things. It taught, number one, that God is the Creator and God is holy and He is sinless and righteous. Second thing it taught was that we are men, we're creatures of God. God made us in His image, but we have fallen. We're born into sin, and we've sinned to aggravate that even more so because of sin coming into the world through Adam. So as a result of God being righteous and holy and we being sinful and depraved, there's a great gap between us and God. A great gulf exists there. And God needs to be reconciled to man, and man needs to be reconciled to God. And the person who can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we would talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, which was fine. I appreciate all that. But where I think we missed the boat in that witnessing training, that evangelistic training was, is that we were trying to get people to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead as something that we thought they could do just by making a choice, just by making a decision. And so the presentation of the gospel was meant primarily to get to the mind and convince them and to get to their will so that they can make that, quote, decision. They can make that choice. But what we should have been aiming for was the heart as well as the mind and the will. But we should have been aiming for the heart. Now, persuasive speakers can convince people to think differently. And persuasive speakers can convince people to make decisions. If you don't believe that, go to Gatlinburg, sign up for 3 days and 2-night stay for about $59, but you have to sit through a 3-hour presentation for their time deal. And once you accept the rate and you go and you sit down and you go through that 3-hour speech and they're trying to convince you to buy a vacation spot through Hilton or whatever it is. And they will not let up. They will not take no for an answer. You can say no to your blue in the face. They're still going to come after you until they get you to sign that dotted line. They are very, very persuasive. And most people who go into that saying, I am not going to say yes. Write it down. I'm not going to say yes. They walk out with a sheet of paper in their hand. There's their signature on that thing. And they're the proud owner of a vacation week in somewhere. So persuasive speakers can get to the mind and get to the will. But friend, there's only one person that can change a heart. You hear me? There's only one person that can change a heart, and that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God is responsible for taking the gospel that is preached and like a laser beam focusing upon that sinner's heart and breathing life into that dead sinner, giving sight to that dead sinner, giving hearing to that dead sinner, giving a mind that can see spiritual things. And when the Holy Ghost breathes upon your heart, He takes the old heart of stone out and puts in a new heart of flesh. So now the old heart didn't want God. The old heart hated God. But now the Holy Ghost has given you a new heart, one that wants God and loves God, and then you freely then believe in Jesus. And you freely turn away from sin because you want to, because the Holy Ghost has operated upon your heart to do this. You then confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. It's a free confession, open and willing confession. And number two, you freely repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just any old Jesus Christ, though, the one that has been raised from the dead. the resurrected Jesus, who has gloriously proven himself to be the champion, to be the victor over sin, over death, over grave, all of it. He's ascended right now into glory. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he's ruling everything and everyone, and he never misses a beat. He is a sovereign Lord that has all power at his disposal. And for us to confess, to testify that the Lord Jesus is that, and for us to believe in our heart, not in our mind, not in our will, but in our heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And everywhere Paul went, preaching this gospel and relying upon the Holy Ghost to bless his preaching, he saw folks converted. He saw other things too. He saw people get mad. He saw them run him out of town. He saw them stone him and left him for dead. He saw them cause a riot and threaten to kill him. So no doubt that happened as well. But to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead are two results of the Holy Ghost moving upon your heart and changing you from the inside out. Now that's what happened to me when I was 16 years old. The Lord moved in upon me and changed my heart. And I confessed Christ and I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Still confessing Christ today. Still believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. There's other members in my family who came to Christ after that as well. My sister Donna here today, the Lord got a hold of her and saved her. And the most recent family member of the Duncan family that has been saved and is serving the Lord really faithfully right now, my brother James. And I'm just so tickled to see the Lord working in him the way that he is. So I've asked him to come today and share a little testimony about what the Lord has done in his life and is doing now. So James, you ready? Come on up then. All yours.
Put him on the spot, but well, first of all, I want to give glory to the Lord.
Amen.
Because he saved me, you know. I was a wrecked sinner. I was, you know, when you grow up, you know, right from wrong, right? And I know right from wrong, and I had a choice to do it. And until I met Jesus Christ,
yeah,
I chose the wrong way. Since they come to my heart.
Amen.
I just love him and I thank him. And he just loves us, you know. And he's so good. God was good. And then I met my wife here. And, well, let me give you a little story. I started out in school. You know, I was 16 years old. And me and a couple of buddies, you know, I was on the wrong side of the road, you know. I had me a little car, you know, worked for it and stuff. And mama said, don't go to Marchery. So what did I do? I went to Marchery.
Yep.
And met some old buddies, and we got together, and we started drinking and stuff, and, you know, and she'd been doing that. Then was out riding around, and my buddy Gene, he started driving crazy and stuff, and I said, oh, Lord. And we had a wreck, and it killed him. But God spared my life and my other friend's life that was in there with us. That changed me right there, you know. And I thank the Lord for that. Because I could have been gone like that.
Yeah.
But the Lord has a purpose for me.
Amen.
And my purpose is to spread the word about him.
Amen.
You know, go spread the good news.
Amen.
Tell people how good he is.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
You go right ahead.
But the Holy Spirit gets hold of you, know. He's,
amen.
Praise the Lord, and you know,
amen.
Us and cry and shout and
yeah,
all that stuff.
That's
know.
Right. Amen.
God is good, and I met my wife here in 2011. She's been my boss. I worked at a nursing home. I washed dishes.
Yeah.
A professional dishwasher, what I said. And then I met her, And I went to Memphis working on big trucks and stuff like that. And then me and her got to talking, you know, because she was going through a bad time in her life, too.
Yeah.
So I believe that God put us together.
Amen.
So to be one, you know. And if you got a good woman on your side, you know, where there's two or more gathered, God
yeah.
is with us.
Amen. Amen. And, Amen.
In 2019, my wife had surgical cancer. So we went to the doctor over at Memphis, and it was like stage three. And he come over and told us that, and we heard that. And my heart just kind of dropped. That fear come in. So the devil said, "Look at here.
Yeah.
Look at here."
Yeah.
And, I forced my head, told me, he said, "Don't worry, she's going to be okay, because it's going to be for my glory."
Yeah.
And it was for her glory. Because the doctor that we went and seen, it amazed me. He said, Mr. Duncan, do y'all believe in the Lord? We said, "Yes, faith."
Amen.
He said, "Well, I do too."
Huh.
And every night, me and my son pray for my patients.
How about that?
And, he said, "I'm here to do God's work, to make your life longer."
Amen.
And Robin said, "Well, I'm ready to go anyway, because you go to heaven, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about none of
that." Amen.
Amen. Healed and all that stuff. Anyway, doctor told her that, and we did the treatments and stuff like that. And every place she went, there was godly people there. There was godly doctors and godly nurses.
Wow.
And we talked about the Lord and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
And then, how long was it, honey? 3 months, she was healed of cancer.
How about that? Praise the Lord.
But we give the glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
God is good. I love him. And I love church now.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
God is good. I love him so much. And, you know, it's just hard to explain how good God is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you have problems, you know, pray about it, right?
Yeah.
You know, every morning I get up, I pray. I say, "Lord, be with me as I put on my body on. From my head to my toe, you know, your hammer to faith.
Yeah.
Shield,
yeah.
breastplate, your sword, which is your Bible.
That's right.
Protect me from my temptations."
Amen.
And I do fail every once in a while. Well, a lot. You know. I don't mean to, but I do. But but the Lord says you've been forgiven.
Amen.
Because Christ died on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
His blood covered all that.
Amen.
And now these days, you know, when you sin, you know, God says, when you sin and ask forgiveness, God's forgotten about it.
Amen.
It goes in the sea of forgiveness.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And, that's how good God is.
Amen.
So he saved a wretch like me. He can save a wretch like you.
Amen.
Thank him
and I love him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Amen. Oh, man. I tell you, my heart is just so happy. It has been just because of James and the change in him. And I started seeing him on Facebook, and he's making all these posts about loving Jesus and serving Jesus. And I'm thinking, man, praise God. Thank him for that. And for Donna and for David and how faithful they are to the Lord and how they serve him faithfully as well. Just so excited what the Lord is doing in our family. Amen. He sure is. So if God gets a hold of your heart, you can stand before people like James just did, put him on the spot, and just talk about Jesus and just share about Jesus. Amen? Now, if you claim to be a Christian and you're asked to give a testimony like that, and you, "I don't know if I can do that or not," I don't know. That makes people question whether or not you're sincerely a Christian or not. And I realize some people have trouble speaking in front of people. But you don't have to. I mean, you can get up here and stutter and stammer and cry, and we're not looking for eloquent speakers. We're just looking for people who can speak from their heart and can tell what Jesus has done for them. So, before we close today, would anybody else like to give a short testimony this morning? I mean, I feel like James has sort of opened the door here. Anything on your heart you want to share with us? Mm-hmm. Amen. Sure is.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. James and Robin are very active in a church. They drive about 45 minutes to a church in southeast Missouri, and people ask them all the time, why do you drive 45 minutes to church? So, well, because that's where we're fed. That's where the Lord wants us to be. I said, I get that. We got people who do that here too. Drive a little distance to come to this church as well. Amen. Anyone else got a word you want to say? Not mean to put you on the spot or anything. Just want to give you an opportunity. All right. Well, let's close in prayer then. Our Father, we are so thankful for the gospel of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We're thankful that you put upon the hearts of men and women a desire to share that gospel. And for those who do share the gospel, I'm thankful that they rely not upon their wit or upon their winsome words to convince people to come to Christ, but they rely upon the Holy Ghost to descend upon lost sinners and breathe into them life so that they will come to Christ. We're thankful that's the way it happened to us. You've used all kinds of people in order for that to happen. And we pray that if there's someone here this morning who is still lost and damned in their sins, we pray that you would use this service of us worshiping you to work in their hearts to draw them to the Lord Jesus as well. Help them to be able to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus. Own up to the fact that He is the Lord and Savior of sinners. And then for them to believe in their heart that you raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. He is the resurrected, living, ruling, and supreme Lord right now. We don't believe in some kind of half-pint-sized Savior. We don't believe in a Savior who is not able to save people. We believe in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, and thank you for that. We ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.